The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury. It was a warm afternoon in early September when I first met the Illustrated Man. Walking along an asphalt road, I was on the final leg of a 2 weeks walking tour of Wisconsin. Late in the afternoon, I stopped, ate some pork, beans, and a donut, and was prepared to stretch out and read when the Illustrated Man walked over the hill and stood for a moment against the sky. I didn't know he was illustrated then. I only knew that he was tall, once well-muscled, but now, for some reason, going to fat. I recall that his arms were long and the hands thick, but that his face was like a child's set upon a massive body. He seemed only to sense my presence, for he didn't look directly at me when he spoke his first words. "Do you know where I can find a job?" "I'm afraid not," I said. "I haven't had a job that's lasted in 40 years, he said. Though it was a hot late afternoon, he wore his wool shirt buttoned tight about his neck. His sleeves were rolled and buttoned down over his thick wrists. Perspiration was streaming from his face, yet he made no move to open his shirt. "Well," he said at last, "this is as good a place as any to spend the night. Do you mind company?" "I have some extra food. You'd be welcome to," I said. He sat down heavily, grunting. "You'll be sorry you asked me to stay," he said. "Everyone always is. That's why I'm walking. Here it is, early September, the cream of the Labor Day carnival season. I should be making money hand over fist at any small town sideshow celebration. But here I am with no prospects." He took off an immense shoe and peered at it closely. "I usually keep a job about 10 days. Then something happens and they fire me. By now, every carnival in America won't touch me with a 10-foot pole. "What seems to be the trouble?" I asked. For answer, he unbuttoned his tight collar slowly. With his eyes shut, he put a slow hand to the task of unbuttoning his shirt all the way down. He slipped his fingers in to feel his chest. "Funny," he said, eyes still shut. "You can't feel them, but they're there. I always hope that someday I'll look and they'll be gone. I walk in the sun for hours on the hottest days, baking, and hope that my sweat will wash them off. The sun will cook them off, but at sundown, they're still there." He turned his head slightly toward me and exposed his chest. "Are they still there now?" After a long while, I exhaled. "Yes," I said, "they're still there, the illustrations." "Another reason I keep my collar buttoned up," he said, opening his eyes, "is the children. They follow me along country roads. Everyone wants to see the pictures, and yet nobody wants to see them." He took his shirt off and wadded it in his hands. He was covered with illustrations from the blue tattooed ring about his neck to his belt line. "Keeps right on going," he said, guessing my thought. "All of me is illustrated. Look." He opened his hand. On his palm was a rose, freshly cut, with drops of crystal water among the soft pink petals. I put my hand out to touch it, but it was only an illustration. As for the rest of him, I cannot say how I sat and stared, for he was a riot of rockets and fountains and people in such intricate detail and colour that you could only hear the voices murmuring, small and muted, from the crowds that inhabited his body. When his flesh twitched, the tiny mouths flickered, the tiny green and gold eyes winked, the tiny pink hands gestured. There were yellow meadows and blue rivers and mountains and stars and suns and planets spread in a Milky Way across his chest. The people themselves were in 20 or more odd groups upon his arms, shoulders, back, sides and wrists, as well as on the flat of his stomach. You found them in forests of hair, lurking among a constellation of freckles or peering from armpit caverns, diamond eyes aglitter. Each seemed intent upon his own activity, each was a separate gallery portrait. "Why, they're beautiful," I said. "How can I explain about his illustrations? If El Greco had painted miniatures in his prime, no bigger than your hand, infinitely detailed, with all his sulphurous colour, elongation in anatomy, perhaps he might have used this man's body for his art. The colours burned in three dimensions. They were windows looking in upon fiery reality.